Welcome to another edition of the Lakers Locker Room. I'm your host, Tajon Graham. And this episode, I have two very special guests. You know, these are two up-and-coming, you know, female student athletes on the women's volleyball team. There's so much to talk to them about this episode. Please welcome to Lakers Locker Room, OC Raymond LeDuc and Paige Owen. How are you doing today?
Good.
Yeah.
Yep. Good.
You know, I always ask people this question. I usually get the answer yes. Is this your guys' first podcast?
It's not actually for me.
Really?
No, I did one a couple weeks ago just with like a local North Bay one. So I did that a little while ago, but only number two.
Okay. Your first podcast?
First podcast, yes. But like I did do an interview with like the Bay Today last year about my season, but yeah.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Look at them on North Bay. Like there's not too many crazy outlets and they're all pretty friendly. So it's not like Toronto where like, oh, they're all open face. But
yeah.
Anyways, like I said, so much to talk to in this episode, but let's start with obviously you guys' seasons. Obviously, unfortunately, I wasn't able to be at the banquet, but I did see that both you ladies obviously had a great season, got some awards. So congratulations, Paige. You won, I think, team MVP.
Yep.
And girls are both all-stars. I'll start with you, Paige. Just talk about kind of, you know, last year you girls were both co-rookie of the year. So obviously OC, you had a historic rookie season, which we'll talk about after. But Paige, I'll start with you. You went from rookie of the year. Now you're team MVP. Just talk a bit about kind of that elevation, kind of how you upped your game this season.
Yeah. I thought after last year having such a good rookie year, I was kind of scared a little bit of like, how can I top that? How can I be better? Because it's just kind of like you sometimes feel like you hit a cap and how do you keep progressing if you already feel like you've worked so hard first year? So it was kind of a different mindset thing. I struggled a little bit last year with the mental side of volleyball, so I really worked hard this year to kind of reach out to some resources and figure that out, and I think that that's been a huge thing to help me. I think that my physical abilities are always going to get a little bit better, but I think that that was a different side of the game that I've kind of taken this year, and it's helped me a lot. So, yeah, like super happy that I was obviously able to keep doing better than I did in my first year, and I think that it's just pretty rewarding that it paid off that. Yeah, like first year was good, but second year was that much better. So I still have three more years and I just have to keep being better every year. So I think that it's just positive that I've already gotten that much better from first year. So just kind of seeing where those years come to.
You know, I talked to Trent a couple episodes ago about like the sophomore slump. Have you girls heard of the term sophomore slump?
Yes, and I remember watching that episode and I was like, I know this, and that's why I was scared. Like some of the girls last year, some of the seniors were like, oh, there's this thing when you like do well in your first year, you don't do well in your second year. I was terrified. Like I was like, first of all, why is this even being talked about? Because I was like, okay, like this is fair.
It's a legit issue.
I know, and that's why I was like, okay, like if this is something that happens and it's a reoccurring problem, how do I not have that happen?
How do you avoid it?
Yeah. So I think that that was also motivation. I think that obviously being the best player I can be helped me a lot too. So I just wanted to work hard in and out of the gym and it paid off for me ultimately.
Yeah, 100%. Because a lot of times, like I said, people don't realize that the sophomore slump is a real thing. Like you come into your first year thinking, okay, I'm going to do all these great things. Sometimes it works out how you expect it. Sometimes it's the complete opposite.
Yep.
Right? So that when you do so well, you're thinking people have now have these expectations, think, oh, if they have this great season, then, oh, I'm going to up it next year. And then sometimes people fall under the pressure and then fade.
Yep.
Right? So OC, talking with you, like I said, in the interview, you had a crazy, you know, I always tell people this, like it took me 4 years up until last year to win 7 awards. You won 7 awards in one night. You tied me for 4 years in one night. Okay, and last year when I had like, you know, your OTM master of podcast, she spoke like super highly. Obviously this is before I really got to know you and said like, you know, you have crazy potential. So let's talk about like, you know, free season last year. Let's rewind a little bit. You know, going into the season, obviously ending with the way you did you expect to have that much of an historic rookie season, or just like you just knew like, you know, you had high expectations for yourself, but you didn't expect it to be like this great?
No, I definitely didn't expect it to be that great. Like, still to this day, like, I have a hard time, like, even, like, accepting that, like, I got all those awards. Like, it's still hard to, like, process all of it. Especially because, like, I just wanted to move on from that right away, to move on to my next season, because I knew that that was already going to be in the past and that I had to move on for the next season that was coming.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, let me see if I try to remember. Let's see, you won OBA Rookie of the Year. I think you won. I think you were first team All-Star. Second team All-Star? Really? Really? Yeah. That's crazy. Second team All-Star. You were obviously all rookie team.
Yeah.
I think you were U Sports all rookie team.
Yeah.
You were our female rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Female athlete of the year.
Yeah.
And then you were, I think you were team MVP?
Yeah.
That's
and rookie.
See, hey, but Paige was called Rookie of the Year too. Hey, wait, so we're giving Paige love too.
No, that's okay. That's easier. No, that's easier.
No, because like I'm at the banquet last year. Like I said, I get my, you know, my OUA EDI award, stuff like that. And I just keep hearing every time. I said, the winner for this one is OC. 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 We hear Female Rookie of the Year, OC. Literally. You take a picture. And Female of the Year is OC. We're like, I'm like, what? That's funny. Like, no, like, I don't think, I got to check the Nipperson, but I don't know if there's ever been an athlete that's won both Rookie of the Year and Athlete of the Year in the same year. I don't think that's ever happened.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. I wasn't expecting it at all, like, whatsoever.
Because we saw the picture. How were we able to take all those trophies home? Because I had a little baggie for mine, but, like, you had to bring it home, like, 7. How did you bring it home?
To be honest, I couldn't do it alone. I got Rob to actually help me with that, so shout out to Rob. Oh my god. But he did help me. I did put some of the awards, like, in his office just until I could bring them all home, but, yeah, it was...
It was crazy. So like, congratulations for that.
Thank
again.
You.
But going into this season, obviously you girls, you made the playoffs last year, right?
No.
Or you didn't make the playoffs?
No.
Last year. So obviously going into this season, your goal is obviously to make the playoffs. And I think this year you did make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So what was the expectations for a team going into the season? I'll start with you, Paige, and kind of how was the team approaching to obviously bounce back following not making the playoffs last year?
Yeah. I think that we knew this year that we had a really good younger dynamic and that we hold a lot of potential. Like, we obviously haven't had a lot of time to kind of build that glue and work together, and I think that that's kind of what the 7 rookies that we had coming in knew, that they wanted to be the best they could as well. So I think that as a team we had a really good mindset of, okay, let's all be the best we can be, because making playoffs is huge, and obviously for our program it hasn't happened very often.
Right.
I think it was only one time before this year, and that was the play-in game. So what did you guys finish?
We won the play-in game, but then lost.
Yeah,
so that was like, I think it was 22, I think it was, right?
Yeah. So we obviously knew that that was super cool that that had happened, but we were like, well, what if we don't have to play the play-in game and like solidify a playoff spot?
Right.
So we ultimately finished 7th, which was huge, highest we finished in program history. And
what was your team record?
Oh no.
Hey, ours wasn't that hot. If that makes you feel better.
No, I just don't remember
either.
Okay.
13-7, something like that.
That's pretty good.
There were some like pretty big upsets that we obviously wanted to win, and we didn't really know if we could do it, and we did it, and that kind of gave us the encouragement to train that much harder and do that much better in playoffs. Obviously, unfortunately, we lost, but we made it to playoffs, and that's kind of all that matters. So just kind of going up from here and just trying to make it to playoffs and then win in playoffs. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but ultimately, like, a really good season.
Yeah, also, what would you say was the biggest upset that you girls were able to accomplish this year, since Paige was talking about it?
Biggest upset? I would probably say TMU, when we beat them. That was huge.
Oh, home or away?
It was away.
Oh, even better, okay.
Yeah, we did lose the first day, but we won the second day, and it was, like, the best feeling ever. Everyone felt, like, so good and so happy and just so proud of each and every one.
Yeah, that's crazy. I wish we could say the same thing. Like, our team unfortunately didn't do the best this year, but obviously, hopefully, I'm graduating. But hopefully, next year they do really well. So
yeah,
I'm glad you girls kind of took that that next step. Obviously, going into the season, you know, one thing about, you know, your situation, obviously, because you didn't make the playoffs last year, you wanted to make the playoffs this year. Leadership, you know, leadership is obviously a big thing with a lot of teams in terms of, you know, having the right people in place, you know, to lead the team, obviously, to where you guys want to go. Who are you guys team leaders this year? And kind of talk a bit about how they were vital in terms of you girls getting back to the playoffs. I'll start with you on Paige.
So C was one of our captains, Shay Francis, and then Cassandra Pavlik. So the three of them were our three team captains, and they obviously played their own role in their leadership and all did an incredible job. And I think that that's why we were able to get to the point that we were. Extra little shout out to Shay, though. She is definitely... We joke that she's the grandma, the mom of the team.
Yeah, she's been here a long time.
She's been here a long time.
She might have been here longer than me, if I think about it.
Yeah.
She might have been.
Yeah, but definitely kind of took the lead this year and kept us all very accountable and encouraged us at the same time. And I don't know how we would have been able to do it without her. That next year's going to look a lot different. And it's kind of scary to think about, because I haven't played at NIP without her. And she's obviously a big piece of the puzzle to our team. So,
yeah,
very happy to be able to spend that time with her. But obviously sad to see her go, but... just bigger shoes to fill for us.
No, 100%. You know, OC, I talked to people on this podcast in terms of, you know, people who are younger and trying to get into leadership roles. You know, there's, even back in high school, I remember when I was in high school, there's always this big debate in terms of, are you born a leader or do you kind of become a leader?
Yeah.
For you personally, kind of, where are you on that stance? Like, were you someone that was always a leader? Were you someone that had to kind of build up to be a leader, kind of, especially since you're still so young? Like, kind of, what's been your experience like with leadership? And if so, what's been the biggest lesson you've learned being a leader?
Yeah. So I would say that, like, I always had, like, some leadership qualities, like, within, but there's definitely so much more that I can learn.
Yeah.
And a huge thing that I would say that I learned this year about leadership is that everyone is their own leader in their own way, and that, like, leadership, there's no, like, textbook definition of, like, what exactly is a leader or, like, what qualities you need to exactly be the perfect leader.
Right.
Everyone can be their own leader. And so, like, what I would say for, like, young people coming in, like, just keep being yourself. And if... Yeah, sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so just keep being yourself and just lead the way that you believe that the team should be, like, leaded. And if you... if that's the way it works, then that's the way it works.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of times too, when you think about leadership, you said it best, like, there's no textbook way of leadership. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, especially, like, I'm in business, right? So even, like, running a business, for example, like, there's ways of, okay, you might have to be authoritative, you might have to be democratic, you might have to, you know, put your foot down, stuff like that. There's no right way of leadership. And I think the most important thing, obviously, is, like, you have to know the person you have. Like, and I think it's the same thing with coaching, right? Like, coaches have learned, okay, this person I can yell at, this person I might have to coddle them. It's kind of the same thing, you know? So definitely, I definitely agree with your sentiment on that. Obviously, staying on top of the season, right? And obviously, we talked earlier about the consistency. Like I said, you two ladies obviously had great rookie seasons. Obviously, you came back this year, obviously elevated. I'll start with you, Paige. A lot of times when we come in as student athletes, you know, we're trying to figure out how to be the best version of ourselves every single day. And a lot of times throughout the season, it's very hard because, you know, you have your ups, you have your downs, there's school, there's social life, stuff like that. Kind of what's been your biggest thing that you've learned about how to stay consistent? And then kind of what's your advice for those who are trying to be in that boat of being consistent and not always having those ups and downs?
Yeah, so we started the season playing Waterloo, and my mindset going into that game was, I have absolutely nothing to lose. I had a really good first rookie season. Like, this is, and for me, like, this is when I was still kind of struggling with the mental aspect of volleyball, and I hadn't kind of built to that yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, if I don't play well these games, then, like, what does that mean for the rest of the season? And that's just kind of how I was, and I've learned that that's not the way I should be thinking. But that's still kind of the baseline that I had for myself, and I actually had two very strong games to start the season.
Okay.
So I was feeling good, and then we played Western right before the Christmas break, and
it
was really bad. Like, that might be my worst two games of volleyball I've played, and it was just a total rut that I was in, and I took the kind of winter break to kind of, like, reset myself, and then had a way more consistent second half of the season, for sure, but that also came with the mental aspect and my believing in myself and my own physical abilities. So, yeah, I think that the key to consistency is working hard, but also believing in yourself, because I know that I'm able to be the best volleyball player I can be, but it's just a matter of that day, what's my mindset like, and how am I going to treat my own self, how's my own self-talk going to be, and everything like that. So just believing in yourself, relying on your teammates. Like, I know that there's sometimes I have to look at C and be like, hey, like, get me out of this right now, because sometimes I can't do it on my own. So reaching out to other people, because they're in the same position and they know how I'm feeling, obviously, and I know how they're feeling, and just kind of relying on your people, your coaching staff, and believing in yourself at the same time really helped me with my consistency this year.
Yeah, also, like I said, last year, obviously, you had a great rookie season, and obviously this year, going to season, I know, like I said, there might be a lot of expectation, obviously, because you won all these awards, things like that. Kind of, how were you able to, if you were, to kind of suppress all those expectations? Because you might have a lot of people in your ear, if, like, those watching that say, hey, you have a great rookie season. Say, oh, you're going to do this, you can do this, you can do that. You broke this record, you broke that record, right? But what was it like for you in terms of having to babies? What was your kind of process suppressing kind of all those expectations? Just be able just to play volleyball and just whatever happens, happens.
So, yeah, it was definitely tough going into this season, because right after the banquet, I knew automatically that I was gonna, like, there's gonna be a lot of pressure for next year.
Right.
Mostly self-inflicted.
Oh.
I just feel like I definitely, like, put a lot of pressure on myself to try to perform the best I can to, like, prove to people that, like, I can still, like, be the same person I was. And putting that pressure on myself definitely did not help. And I knew it wasn't going to help, but I was stuck and I just didn't know what to do. So at the beginning of the season, I would say I definitely struggled mentally. I didn't know exactly how I was going to overcome it. I struggled a lot, but I did lean a lot on my teammates to get me through those games. And then I went to go get, like, support and resources elsewhere. And that definitely helped me, especially with the second half of the season, to stay more consistent and, like, relieve that pressure off of myself. But yeah.
I think that also, like, a huge thing for both of us, because we both kind of felt that in a way, and we've definitely, like, kind of tried to go through that together. shout out again to Shay. I think it really helped us because we knew that even if we weren't consistent and we had a tough game, Shay was always there, not only being our number one supporter and believing in us, but if we were having a tough game and we had to get subbed out, she was coming in. But it wasn't like a competition by any means. Exactly. And Shay obviously having a different role since we both came in and still like having that confidence in us to be the best that we can. I think that like that really helped us as well. And that's obviously her being a leader and just the person she is. So I think that that also helped us both with trying to overcome last year as well.
And we knew that like as soon as she would come in, she'd kill it and she'd have a great time. Every single time. There was no pressure. We knew that if we weren't having the best game, that she would come in and just do her thing.
Yeah, and I think that's a thing, too, that gets lost now, like the importance of veterans, right? Like, it's a big thing in the professional sports world right now, but I think even at the university level, like, just a lot of times, how do I put this? A lot of times, I think it's more on the men's side than the women's, like, there's such a negative connotation sometimes in terms of the vet that doesn't play. Because a lot of times when people come in, they think, oh, this person, I'm better than this person, you know, they're older, they don't play, things like that. But people don't understand, like, the value of knowledge might be the most integral part that you need to a team.
Absolutely. 100%.
Right? Yeah. So, like I can say, like, it's great that having someone like Shay, like I said, you know, who may not be, like, the superstar and things like that, but because she has the knowledge and just the ability to, like, calm people like yourselves down, is huge.
Yep, 100%. For sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Shay. Like I said, I've known her for a few years. Like, Shay is awesome. Like I said, shout out to Shay.
Yeah.
Like I said, great, 100%. You know, great person. You know, congratulations, great career, things like that.
Like what you've been hearing so far? Make sure to follow us on IG at Lakers Locker Room and subscribe to our YouTube channel while you're at it, where you can find clips of all our episodes and video content associated with the podcast. Part 2 of the Lakers Locker Room starts now.
You know, staying on, you know, the mental side, you know, a lot of times I think people don't understand the mental toll it takes to be a student athlete. I think people think, you know, especially with men's, there's like men's volleyball, women's volleyball, men's basketball, women's basketball. It goes, I think, oh, sorry, hockey too, goes all year.
It's entire season,
at least 20 games. I know women's hockey plays 27. I was talking to Mallory. Kind of, I'll start with you, Paige. Like, you know, you talked a bit about it, but like, what were some of the struggles that you had kind of mentally and kind of what's your advice for those who are looking to kind of, if they go through that situation, how can they get out of it?
Yeah, I think that there's just sometimes I hit a point where I'm like, okay, I'm doing the same thing every single day. Like, every day looks the same, and I was kind of struggling. I just, like, there's sometimes I hit a point where I'm like, okay, like, I just need to take a break from volleyball because I've obviously been playing for so many years beforehand, and I still have so many years ahead of me. Right. So I'm still trying to, like, make sure that I enjoy the game and love to play it, and it's just kind of hard with that. But, yeah, like, mentally, it's pretty exhausting. It's hard to get through all of your classes through the day and then have to train super hard for 2 hours at night with a lift in the day as well. And there's just a lot that goes on. And then there's still a social life that we all have with each other. And now that we live together this year as well, it's like, okay, well, we want to hang out. We want to still like have a normal life around volleyball. And so that means that we get some less sleep sometimes. And it's just like, it's so hard to balance everything because it's like, I want to do the things that a normal university student would be able to do, but it's obviously hard sometimes because we have bigger commitments. And obviously that's something that I'm like, I'm super happy that I'm able to be involved in and everything else. But yeah, like definitely just taking time for yourself. And like, I've learned to like block out sometimes the day, like usually like an hour, hour and a half before practice where I can just eat dinner and kind of just like hang out and just kind of
just decompress,
reset myself because it's really hard to just go, go, go all day, especially first year and second year. I've had a pretty busy schedule. Obviously being in phys ed, there's kind of a lot to it, and the practicals as well, that's a different part. So my body kind of just goes through it through the season, but I think that now that I'm into my third year going into it, I'm gonna kind of, I have my tools that I know that I need to use, and it's definitely a struggle some days, but I'm definitely appreciative of the opportunities I get.
Same question, kind of what's your take on, you know, the mental health aspect? You said, I think people don't realize. That's the thing, too, I've always said, too. I don't think people just see the final product on game day. Yeah. They don't see, like, I talked about this last year with some of my teammates last year. Like, they don't see the Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, I should say, you know, if you got yelled at by your coach, if you did a bad on the test, you only got 3 hours of sleep. If you're fighting with, you know, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, they don't see all that stuff. Yeah. So kind of always see, like, what's kind of your take on, you know, same, adding to what Paige said about the mental health and kind of how do you overcome the stresses of being a student athlete?
Yeah, so I definitely agree with everything that Paige said. It's definitely tough. The grind is insane. But, like, another huge thing to add to that, like, not only, like, school and, like, volleyball, you also have, like, all your personal things, like you said, like, boyfriend, girlfriends, family, and all that. It's definitely a huge part of people's lives. And I think a big thing that helps like manage it for like game days is just like kind of practicing it throughout the week. So yes, you might have a lot on your plate, but a big thing that we have with our team is that when you come to practice, you just leave it at the door.
Right.
You do your practice, you work hard, you lean on everyone else. And like, if you do have something going on that like is like hard to just leave at the door, which is totally understandable, then people would like go to like our captains and like tell them, hey, like I'm having a really rough day, but like I'm gonna try my best. And I think that's a huge thing, that like just practicing that, like trying to like leave everything at the door and then just practicing, was definitely like a huge thing that helped with like putting on like a game like on the weekends. But yeah,
like I said, there's just so much like goals with being a student athlete people don't understand. That's why I like doing this podcast. That's why I was happy to take it over 4 years ago, because obviously the people that did it before was great, but like it's cool to have these more in-depth conversations, because like, you know, people listen to these type of podcasts with student athletes and you know, you hear about the stuff like the season, stuff like that, but like it's a good platform to really talk about the really ins and outs, the intricate parts of being a student athlete. It's not easy. No. You know, I did 5 years, and it's, you know, my 5 years was, you know, obviously through a pandemic and then COVID and, yep, you know, ups and downs of playing, not playing last year. My last year, I finally was a starter. So all these ups and downs, like, mm-hmm. So it's really good to be able to have a platform to offer other student athletes here at Nipissing to really talk about these type of things. Because people, it's crazy when you think about it. Like I've heard people who get recruited from different teams, they'll like listen to like their potential teammates' podcasts. And before, really? Like, I've heard that, I think maybe three times. I heard that from soccer. I've heard that from our team, like my team, like a couple years ago. Like, it's pretty cool. So, like, I really do take pride in kind of having these conversations over the hell. Yeah. You girls said you listened to Tyrus and Trent's podcast before he came on, right? Yeah. So, you're proving my point, right? Yeah. So,
for sure.
So, staying on the topic of just, like, outside of, you know, the athlete side, let's talk about the student side, right? Mm-hmm. So, people forget, like, it's student athletes. So, yes, we're athletes, but we still have to go to school. You talked about practicals. Like, I think 95% of student athletes are phys ed. I'm one of the few that's not phys ed, but kind of, I'll start with you, OC. Kind of, a lot of people, it takes time for them to kind of adjust to university. Sometimes some people do it quick, some people do it slow. For me, it took a while. What was your process in terms of figuring out what worked for you as a student? Because coming from high school, you know, what did you graduate high school? Was it 21? Did you graduate high school?
I was 21 that I graduated. So my actual first year of school, so like I'm actually in my third year, but second year of volleyball. So my actual first year of school with practices, that was definitely super tough because I focused a lot on like volleyball at that point, and like school like kind of struggled a bit. It was hard to like get into it because I was new. I was coming to res, trying to like make friends and all that stuff.
Right.
And so it was definitely tough to manage both. But on the student side, what really helped me, like, from, like, let's say, like, last year and my first year was just, like, creating a routine, creating a schedule that I got into so that I didn't, like, fall behind in school and stuff like that. And with me, my program, I'm in education, but child and family studies.
Okay.
And most of my classes are online. Like, I only had, like, one or two classes in person, like, so far. Yeah. And so a huge thing with online is creating a schedule, because if not, it's super easy to fall behind. So, like, what I would recommend for people, like, coming in into the first year is definitely getting, like, making a schedule as soon as they come in so that they can try to create a routine for the whole entire year so that they can get into, so that it makes it easier for them, like, with, like, throughout their student.
Yeah, and honestly, it took me till COVID to, like, really start doing that, because my first year I struggled, and then second year when it was all online, I started writing stuff down. So getting agenda, too, is definitely a big thing. Yeah, Paige, before I ask you the question, I kind of want to ask you something, OC, because I totally forgot that you actually wear a red shirt.
Yeah.
Like I said, once again, more on the men's side, but there's such a negative connotation when it comes to being a red shirt. Mm-hmm. You know, people come in, they think they're going to play, and then they find out they're a red shirt, they think, oh, I'm trash, I'm this, I'm that, I'm leaving because the coach... You are one of those, I think, stories in terms that kind of proves that there is a lot of benefits to being a redshirt.
Yep.
You know, you talk on this podcast, like, this is your opportunity, kind of, what was the biggest benefit or advantage that you had being a redshirt, and kind of how do you think it helped to propel you when you did play, not this year, but obviously in 22, 23, to lead you to your season?
I think a huge thing that helped is just being able to practice with the girls every day without like having the pressure of like knowing that I'm gonna play on the weekend. So that definitely takes the pressure off. But even just being able to practice with the girls who do have games and those who do like have the pressure of like performing in a game, I think that's definitely a huge benefit because you get to see how they feel, you know what to expect. And even just like being there on game days, like watching the games happen, like hearing like our pre and post talks as well about like how the game went or like our video before the game. So what I would say is that like a huge benefit was just being able to be there every single day with the girls and like see how it is like as a student athlete. In my first year, I did go home for a good like month and a half because I had to have surgery. And so that's why I had redshirted that year. But it's definitely like something that if you can do it, I would like if it like falls with like your program and everything, it's definitely a thing that you can do without feeling like ashamed or anything like that. Like it can definitely benefit you in many different ways.
Yeah, like I'm glad you talked about it. Like I said, I totally forgot that you're a redshirt, yeah. But I really wanted to ask that question because you're a success story, right? People will redshirt and then say, oh, I'm cutting or I'm not playing. Like, it sucks. Like, coach is this, coach is that. Like I said, obviously your situation is different because, like, you have an injury. But
still, yeah.
But the benefits of redshirting was obviously, like I said, you got to be around the girls. You got to have the environment. You got to experience. No pressure.
Exactly.
And then next, the year after, took off.
Yeah.
Right? So, but circling back to the student side, obviously, Paige, I wanted to ask Osi that question. But, yeah, the same question goes to you, Paige, about the student side. So I just wanted to ask the guy. I thought it was really good. But yeah. Kind of what's been your process like in terms of, you know, being a student, balancing that, kind of what's worked for you, kind of talk about that for you.
Yeah, last year I definitely struggled. I'm not gonna lie, I had a crazy first year.
Hey, I've been there, girl. I've been there.
Res, making friends, finding a boyfriend. Like, there's just like there's so much that went into it.
Yeah.
I also had pneumonia last year, and I was really, really ill for a while. I got concussed shortly after that, and then now I've been dealing with a year and a half-ish later of two knee injuries. So
yeah,
that obviously takes another mental toll. That was really hard to focus on school because if all I'm thinking about is volleyball, and even the concussion side, I had a concussion through my first round of exams in university.
Oh wow.
So that was definitely a stepping stone that was really tough. But yeah, it was definitely hard to get used to. I wasn't in a routine. I wasn't thinking school first. It was all just volleyball. Like, I knew I had the potential to be a good volleyball player, so I was like, well, why would I think about school? Obviously that is not the way it goes around here anymore. So this year, I'm definitely doing a lot better in all of my classes, and I've kind of now made a routine of I have class through the day, I take that hour before practice, and then I grind it out at practice type of thing. So I have a lot of like exams and midterms and tests and stuff like that, and personally, that is not the best way for me to get tested. Like, obviously, I'd rather assignments and things like that,
100%,
but
yeah.
I need to get adjusted to tests because that's just what my program has for me. So. Yeah. I definitely last year didn't start studying until like 4 days before. Like, it was just like, I just wasn't structured. I didn't have a routine. I didn't really think in advance type of thing, especially if we had a game on the weekend. When we traveled, I was like, okay, I'm not doing any school. Like, it's everyone not
said
my priority.
We said that on the podcast before. So how many works you get down the road? I talked about it for years, but you continue.
Like, every road trip, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I get on the bus. I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, it's just not realistic. I don't know. I need to do that, but I just won't. Like, unfortunately, it's just not how
it's not going
to
happen, right?
So I need to make up for that time throughout the week before Thursday comes around. So yeah, just kind of planning it out in advance and writing everything down of what I have and trying to like prepare myself for that. But it's definitely getting there. Like, I struggled last year, but I think I'm finally kind of getting in my groove, and I still have 4 more years of school left because I'm here for 6 years. So yeah, just trying to get myself through that as well.
Yeah.
No, I don't blame you. Like I said, I've been there. Like I said, first year, I've told people many times, like, last semester of high school, straight 90s. First year of university, average 66.
Yeah.
And this is just before COVID. So been there, done that. Like I said, that's why I like talking about this stuff because people don't realize, like, it's a transition from, you
know,
because like I said, sometime in high school you might be doing 2-3 practices a week. Now you hear 2-3 times a day.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then with practicals for me as well, I don't know if you've talked about this before, but in phys ed, like, we just kind of play sports for class. It's kind of hard to say, but like, it's like kind of just opportunity to learn new skills. And in phys ed, a lot of people go into teaching, so like, learning how to teach different sports and things that you haven't had the opportunity to. It is very cool. Like, I will admit, I'm good at my sport and I'm really bad at every other sport.
Really?
That's like, it's really bad. Like, my athleticism is kind of interesting, but anyways, it's really fun because it's like, okay, I have never canoed before, but we got to do 2 days of canoeing, or like even basketball. Like, I'm not very good at basketball, but it was super fun because like it's not like you have to be great at the sport. It's learning how to teach it and do those things.
Yeah, so, try your best.
Yeah, and like it does take a toll on your body, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I just had core strength this morning, and like I'm really glad I didn't have it in season, but like I'm sore from it, so yeah. It's like trying to adjust that as well. So there's kind of, that's a different kind of side of my schooling, but it's really fun. So I just kind of try to keep positive about it.
Yeah. I never talked about on the podcast, but like, obviously I talked about off mic, obviously people that are in phys ed, have a lot of teammates who are in phys ed.
Yeah.
Also, con ed's obviously popular because obviously Nipissing is known for the concurrent education, which I think is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not in con ed, but I know a lot of people who are in con ed. So yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, winding down this podcast, obviously you guys talked about, you guys are going to be here for a while, but the maturation process, and I've talked about it many times, where when you come to university, it gets a great opportunity for you to find yourself, you know, mm-hmm. learn things about yourself. You know, obviously your girl is still young in the process, but I think it's still a good question to ask. And I'll start with you, OC. What's been the biggest thing that you've learned about yourself since coming to university?
Wow. Oh my God.
take your time if you have to.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I've learned about myself coming to university, I think it's just finding support. I think that's been a huge thing that I've had to learn these past three years, and that has helped me grow a lot as like as a player, as a person. Finding support for school, finding support for volleyball, and just having someone to just lean on every day. And like, I owe like a huge thank you to Paige this year for like helping me get through every single day of this year. She definitely like had my back going through all of it, and I couldn't have done it without her and that's everyone awesome. Else that has helped me. But a huge thing that like has helped me grow is support, and finding support and knowing that you have support. Yeah. I have a really hard time like knowing who supports me and stuff like that. And like, even when I just hear like some people say like that they support me, or they say congrats, stuff like that, I'm like, wow, like I actually have people that are supporting me. And I think it's just like figuring out like who, like knowing like that, you believing that people do support you, and just believing in yourself is a huge thing that has helped me. But yeah,
I think also too, just saying, I think, you know, your circle is the most important thing. I think I talked to someone about this a couple of hours ago. I talked with Taryn Gauthier on the women's basketball team, and we talked about like, I had this kind of, it's weird because like at the time it's recording, like it's a week left before I move out, but it was like, I've noticed over my last 5 years, like there's been a lot of people that like I know, but I started to realize that there's a lot of people that I'm friendly with, and those who are actually, compared to those who are actually friends,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think as you get older, especially in this process, and I talked to my dad about it, I think you realize that your circle starts to get, it's really big when you're young, but then it starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, because unfortunately there's a lot of times where it can be something where, like you talk about the support, mm-hmm. like the thing that's great is like having those friends that truly support you, because here's the difference, like there might be people that like will support you when you're all surface level, but the moment that you start to elevate, people start to switch up and say, oh, like you're big time now, or you're this and you're that, mm-hmm. like, and you can't have those people in your life. So I definitely am glad you talked about that, because I think it's something that's important for people to hear. It's just like, you know, you might have a big group of friends now, but like as you get older and you start to really discover who you are, I talked about this with Lauren Brendan, who's obviously our manager of mm-hmm. intercollegiate sports, like you have to find yourself, and you have to find who are the right people for you, and who's actually going to support you through thick and thin, no jealousy, and who's just going to elevate you.
No, exactly.
So absolutely. That's definitely a big thing. And I'll ask you the same question, Paige, kind of what's been the biggest thing you've learned about yourself throughout this process?
Yeah, I think I've learned that I'm way more capable than I ever thought I could be. Volleyball and school and making friends and everything else, like obviously I've already exceeded my expectations for myself for volleyball, and I still have so much time, which is
super great.
Very cool to think about.
Yeah.
School, I feel like I'm getting in my groove. I was very good in high school, and I had really good grades, and then last year it was like, oh, like
we sympathize, trust me, don't worry.
Yeah, so I think I'm kind of getting there, and I know what I'm capable of, so kind of getting to that level. And then obviously, yeah, like the social aspect of university has been really cool. Like once I was done high school, I was like, okay, I need a new group of people. Like, I'm just ready to kind of,
you were in the same boat too, right?
Yeah, like
really.
Yeah, I just needed to kind of surround myself with different people and people that I knew I wanted to be in my life.
Not to cut you off, was it kind of a thing where like you were moving on, and they kind of, because there's always a saying that everyone's for a season. Was it one of those things where like you made that decision, I just wanted a group of friends, or was it just naturally like as you're beginning to elevate, you realize that these people just weren't going to be on that path to the kind. What was it for you then?
Like from high school?
Yeah, like you said, you talked about, you know, finding a new group of people. Yeah. Like a lot of times people want to stay in touch with the same people. But yeah. As you get older, people start to realize that, okay, I'm, you know, maturing, I'm maturing. These people may not unfortunately be on the same path. So what was that for you kind of to make that decision?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the maturing side. And also the fact that I've just spent the last like 10 years with them because we moved from elementary school to high school and okay. everything else together. Okay, like yeah. I still have my two best friends from home from high school that I still keep in touch with. But like other than that, like my big friend group that I was part of, I just felt like I needed
a change.
Kind of, yeah, like I just needed a change and just...
What happens is life.
I just, like,
life.
There was no problems. Like, there was no beef or anything. Like, I was just like, that's life. I just need to get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is definitely my support system back home from my family that I've kind of, I always knew was there, but it's kind of nice to, now that I'm kind of doing sports, how many of them actually watch. And, like, right. my aunts and uncles and obviously my mom and dad are my biggest supporters. So, yeah.
No, that's really cool to hear. Because, like I said, I want to ask, because, like I said, I've had the conversation, like, so you get older, you realize, okay, I need a new group of friends, or yeah. this is not for me, I need to take a step back.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, because I had this conversation with my dad, like, a couple nights ago, and he was just like, you know, the people who are closer to you will hurt you the most, right? Yeah. So, because I had a situation with someone that, when someone said something to me, I was not going to be specific, but basically, if someone said something to me that I was not expecting, it was someone mm-hmm. who I thought I was real close with, and then yeah. I called my dad, and I was like, you know, why am I still going through this, and almost 24, like I thought I was done with this crap yep. from high school, mm-hmm. and my dad was saying, hey, like I said, the people who are closer to you will hurt you the most.
Yeah, it's also really hard too, because like you make friends and whatever, and like obviously our team, we're all best friends, and mm-hmm. there's yeah. like this year, like we're all like super close.
Nice.
And it's hard sometimes because we do spend every single day together with practices and stuff, so it's also finding that balance. And obviously, like, girls live together and everything else, so just trying to kind of find that balance of, okay, we see each other every day, but there's obviously still some time that we need to spend apart and right. kind of be our own people. So, yeah, like, definitely a great team this year, mm-hmm. though, and, like, 100%. All the girls are super great, so,
yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. Like I said, it was a great conversation. You know, final question to end off this podcast. Obviously, we talked a lot about a great conversation. Really appreciate having you both on. But going into next season, obviously, like I said, I'm graduating, I'll be moving on, but you girls are coming back next year, and I'll start with you, OC, kind of, what are your personal goals and what team goals you have going into next season?
So personal goals, I do want to grow a lot as a leader. I want to be able to be there for everyone in the best way like I can be, to like help them, help every single one of them get through the year and everything like that, and just help our team like grow so much better, like accountability and just wanting to be there, having fun and all that stuff. So that's a huge goal that I want to work on for next season. Like leadership wise. And then for our team, definitely want to make playoffs again. Like that was a huge opportunity. That was so cool. It was so much fun. And I 100% believe that we can do it.
Yep.
So yeah, that's definitely what I'm excited for next season.
And you, Paige?
Also the leadership side for mm-hmm. me. I feel like this year, second half of the season, I've kind of grown as a leader, and I've kind of spoke up a little bit more than I ever have, and I think that was something that I want to continue to do.
Nice.
So definitely finding my shoes to fill for that, and just kind of understanding where my place is and how to say it at what times and everything like that. So just kind of working towards that. I feel like in my first year I was really intimidated, and I was like, okay, I'm not saying a word this whole season.
Been there.
And like I'm just gonna kind of lay low, and yep. then this year I feel like I've kind of stepped up a little bit, and I just kind of want to continue doing that. But also, of course, like doing well in my, like actually playing volleyball yeah. and just continuing doing that. I'm never not going to be nervous that, okay, I had a good year this year. Like I have to right. make it that much better.
Right.
So just hard work and everything else. So we'll see what my knee lets me do anyway. So that's the first thing. But yeah. And then for our team, like I think that we have a huge turnover again this year. There's seven girls leaving and four or five signed so yeah. far. So we're going to be even younger than we were last year, and I think that's something like C and I are going to be some of the oldest on the team, which yeah. is crazy to think about because yeah. we're only in our third year, but just trying to obviously make playoffs and do well there. But I think that like this team's going to have the mindset that we need to win, and I think that we kind of had a taste of what mm-hmm. that felt like this year, and we don't want to stop now, so just keep going.
No, for sure. But like I said, I want to wish you ladies the best of luck. Thank you. Thank you both so much for coming on this podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Really great conversation. Really great getting to know you ladies. Obviously, you girls obviously have a bright future. You girls have already done a lot already. So definitely wishing you ladies the best of luck. Continue to be great. Continue to elevate. And just, you know, enjoy this journey. Like I said, when it's done, it's done. Yeah. Yeah. So enjoy it for it. So thank you, girls.
Thank you so much.
And with that said, that is a wrap on another edition of the Lakers Lock. I want to thank my two special guests, Paige Owen and OC Raymond LaDuke, for joining us. You can find the video version interview on YouTube and listen to full interview on all podcasting platforms. Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.